Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the All Cargo Terminals Limited Q2 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mohit Lohia from ICICI Securities. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Yeah, hi. Thank you, Seema, and good afternoon, everyone. First of all, I would like to thank management of All Cargo Terminals Limited for providing us this opportunity to host the call. From the management side, we have Mr. Suresh Kumar, Managing Director, and Mr. Pritam Vartak, Chief Financial Officer. So without any further delays, I now hand over the call to Mr. Suresh for opening remarks. Thanks, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon and a very warm welcome to everyone for this maiden earnings call of All Cargo Terminals Limited. We will discuss the performance for Q2 and H1 FY24. We have earlier in the day uploaded the results, press release and presentation on the stock exchanges and the company's website. I hope you had an opportunity to go through the same. Along with me this afternoon, I have Mr. Pritam Vartak, who is the Chief Financial Officer for All Cargo Terminals Limited, and Himanshu and Sanjay from the All Cargo Investor Relations team. Since this is our first call, I would like to take the opportunity to walk you through the company and its business model, share some thoughts and insights on our growth plan too. After my initial note, I will hand over the call to Pritam to discuss the financial performance for the quarter gone by. All Cargo Terminals, as most of us would know, was established in 2003 as a division of All Cargo Logistics with a vision to tap into the immense opportunities in the cargo terminals vertical owing to the increasing EXIM trade opportunity in India. The core business of All Cargo Terminals Limited comprises container freight stations, CFS as we call them, and inland container depots, ICDs, operated on an asset-light model. The CFSs and ICDs act as an extension to the port infrastructure and are an important link in the movement of containerized cargo. Today, All Cargo Terminals is one of the largest CFS operators in the country, offering India's widest CFS ICD network. We operate 7 CFS and ICD facilities in India, of which 4 are fully owned by us and 3 are held through subsidiaries and joint ventures. ATL is well positioned at key ports of JNPT, Navasheva, Mundra, Chennai and Calcutta that drive approximately 70% of India's container traffic. We are also well placed to capture the ICD opportunity driven by the development and forward strides in the past few years in dedicated freight corridors, DFC. In the CFS business, we have an estimated market share of 13% with the privilege of being the market leader in Navasheva JNPT and Mundra. In both these locations, we have 2 facilities each. And we are amongst the top 3 CFSs in Calcutta and Chennai. We cater to approximately 3,000 customers and are empaneled with all major shipping lines. ATL offers customized services that include but are not limited to palletization, packing, labeling, stuffing, destuffing, storage, examination of import and export bound cargo, the entire sequence of activities which are there in EXIM. We operate bonded and unbonded warehouses. We are specialized in cargo handling, direct port delivery, and all this together comprises a service portfolio that we offer our customers. All Cargo Terminals also has an expertise and experience in handling ODC, which is the over-dimensional cargo, and hazardous cargo, which we refer to as the hazmat handling. We own and operate state-of-the-art equipment at our CFS facilities, and we also, at various times, hire and rent out equipments to facilitate smooth operations. We have a digital-first approach with our own online portal and the app that we have created called MyCFS. The portal facilitates faceless operations for our customers and helps them access several online facilities such as priority movement of cargo, grounding for examination, and such allied services. The portal also allows customers to generate pro forma invoices and OSR rebate documentation, etc. Customers can track status and location of their containers via the MyCFS portal, which we have opened out to our customers, be it the CHAs and the direct customers, using RFID-enabled container tracking. For us, the year 2023, 20 years since we started our first CFS, is a landmark one. This is a year in which we listed in August, and we believe this is the time for fresh beginnings. A year we conduct growth pilots and chart a new course for ourselves. All Cargo Terminals has laid down strategic pillars to fuel our future growth. I would like to clarify that at this stage, I am discussing the broader roadmap to achieve desired growth. We shall be able to share specific timelines and numbers on some of these opportunities as we move closer to actual execution. The pillars that we have identified are fivefold. First is organic and inorganic growth of the CFS business. The company will continue its efforts to outpace industry growth. We will focus on market share and wallet share for growth and profitability. And overall, we shall aim to double our volumes in the next 4 years. We will also explore opportunities to expand our geographic presence through new CFSs in areas where we are not present currently, or have a room to strengthen our existing position. So this is our first pillar of our growth strategy. The second one is to explore opportunities through DFCC linked ICDs and Gati Shakti terminals. As some of you would be aware, we will also look to launch our ICD at Jhajjar to align with benefits available through the Western DFC connectivity. In addition to the ICD, we are exploring the immense opportunity offered by the Gati Shakti terminals. We have identified 4 to 6 key locations for this purpose, and we will go along the DFC stretch in this, and we will look to participate successfully in the tendering process. So that's the second pillar. The third pillar is about operations excellence and digitalization. So this is something that we have already initiated through the digital portal that I briefly spoke about earlier and the MyCFS app that we have now enabled our customers to access our services from wherever they are. With this, we plan to digitize the customer journey end to end and link it up with the necessary infrastructure government systems as and when that happens. This will definitely improve efficiencies, reduce effort, and help save time for our customers and for our operations. So that's the third pillar. The fourth pillar is to be looking at adjacencies to the CFS business. So we believe CFS is something which is a vital cog in the entire supply chain, and there are elements ahead of the CFS and after the CFS to which we can add value. One such thing is a hub and spoke service model for transportation of container cargo that we are exploring. And we are ready for a pilot in Q3 FY24. So that's the fourth pillar. The final and the fifth pillar is the strategic partnerships that we will explore and enter into, like with, for example, with shipping lines. So in the last half year, we have entered into a strategic partnership with one large shipping line to be their exclusive CFS for their entire volumes at the Calcutta port. We will actively look at such partnerships with other ports at our other ports also in future. We believe the long-standing relationships which the All Cargo Group has will help us in this endeavor. So these are the five pillars of our growth strategy that we have kind of charted out. Having said that, what do I feel are the trends in the industry which have relevance for us? I would like to throw some light on some recent industry trends. Merchandise exports for the period H1, April to September 23, stood at approximately $211 billion as compared to $232 billion for the same period last year. Merchandise imports for April to September 23 stood at $327 billion compared to $373 billion for the same period. Logistics sector is anticipated to experience favorable growth driven by domestic consumption, the many government initiatives like the PLI scheme, the National Rail Plan, Gati Shakti, foreign trade policy, and we are closely watching any opportunity that emanates from this. The foreign trade policy announced by the government augurs really well for the exim trade. The policy has been drafted keeping in mind the changing needs of international trade, and it has set an ambitious target of achieving exports worth $2 trillion by 2030. Other government schemes are more focused towards building a robust infrastructure that will encourage multimodal transport and supplement faster movement of goods. With this, I would like to now hand you over to Preetham for discussing the financial highlights for Q2 and H1 FY24. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Suresh. Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to our Q2 and H1 FY2024 earnings call. I will take you through the highlights of financial results for the second quarter and half year ended September 2023. I would like to start with quarterly highlights. Total volume for Q2 FY24 stood at 156,647 TEUs as compared to 139,000 TEUs for Q2 FY23. Revenue for the quarter stood at 185 crore as compared to rupees 178 crore for Q2 FY23. EBITDA for the quarter FY24 stood at rupees 32 crores as compared to rupees 40 crores for Q2 FY23. This implies an EBITDA per TU of rupees 2067. The company reported a net profit of rupees 12 crore for Q2 FY24 as compared to rupees 14 crores for Q2 FY23. For the half year ended September 23, volumes handled stood at 304,900 TEUs as compared to 273,500 TEUs during the same period in 2022. Revenue for the half year stood at rupees 366 crore as compared to rupees 347 crores for H1 FY23. EBITDA for H1 FY24 stood at rupees 61 crores as compared to rupees 81 crores for H1 FY23. The company reported a net profit of rupees 21 crores for H1 FY24 as compared to rupees 33 crores for H1 FY23. On balance sheet side, consolidated net debt for the company stood at positive rupees 11 crores as of September 23 in comparison to rupees 19 crores net debt as of March 23. With this, I would like to hand over, I would like to open the floor for question answer session.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Thank you. We take the first question from the line of Madhur Rathi from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, I just wanted to understand our EBITDA pre-IND-AS has fallen by a much higher number when compared on a YOY basis. So if you could help me understand that.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah. So thank you for your question. So the EBITDA numbers, if you were to compare on a YOY basis, let's set the context for that. One is with regard to volumes. We have seen an increase in volume compared to last year by about 13% on a YOY basis. This volume has also come in with a higher percentage of DPD. The cargo mix between export-import has also changed. Plus, with capacity available in some of our key CFS locations, there is tariff pressures and rebates which are available for customers to choose. So to remain competitive in a time in which there are tariff pressures, plus the other factors that I mentioned, there is some amount of EBITDA dilution that we have seen. And we believe that's the trend in the industry. What we have done is to try and maintain an EBITDA per TU and our profitability margins ahead of industry average, or in our estimate, we would try to be the industry leaders in terms of profitability margins. So that is how I would kind of respond to your question about the profitability margins change. Preetam, if you would like to add anything to this.
Thanks, Suresh. I think you have mentioned this condition perfectly, so I don't want to add.
Okay, sir, my question was from when I look at from a cash flow from financial perspective, our lease payments and interest has gone up. In the same line, our ROU has been on the similar lines, but still our EBITDA has declined. So that's what the question was, and why is there discrepancy in the lease payments from a YOY perspective?
Okay, so Preetam, if you could take this.
So cash flow, so not sure what discrepancies you are talking about, can you just elaborate your question again?
Yes, sir. So the lease payments and the interest, that was 17 crores for this quarter. So they were negligible around 30-32 lakhs in the previous year. As well as our ROU was on the similar line. So I'm asking regarding that. So why is that difference coming up?
So the lease payments, when you talk about Ind AS accounting, payment doesn't form part of P&A. What forms as a part of P&A? Interest and depreciation on ROU assets. So if you see our finance costs, that's in line. And if you see our depreciation, that's also in line. There are no discrepancies and there are no changes as such.
But so why is this figure for 17 crore for this quarter and around 30 lakhs for the previous year same quarter? So that's what I'm trying to understand.
There is no figure of 17 crore. Not sure which you are looking at. So finance.
Sir, I'm looking at page number 6 of the results.
we're not identify the figures which you are saying. Maybe you can drop an email and we can respond on that.
Oh, okay, sir. So my next question would be, sir, what is our CapEx plan for the next 2 to 3 years since we are looking at adding new CSS and ICDs into our portfolio? So if you could help me give an guidance.
Yeah. So as I mentioned in my introductory remark, ATL's business model is based on being asset light. Therefore, the CapEx that we anticipate for our growth is very negligible, because whatever are the regular maintenance CapEx that we have is the only thing that we need. New facilities will typically be on the asset light model, like how we have some of our existing facilities. So this will be on right of use model. And therefore, we don't anticipate significant CapEx deployment for expansion or additions of CFS in the coming quarters and years.
Okay. And sir, my final question, sir, what will be the steady state EBITDA margin that you should expect going forward?
Preetam, would you want to answer that, please?
So we have seen the uptrend in EBITDA in this quarter, and we are expecting that this upward trend would continue for rest of the year.
Okay, and sir, what will be our guidance for the top line and bottom line growth for the next 2 to 3 years?
So we avoid giving any guidance, but as I said before, we are expecting our volumes to get doubled in next 4 years. And the upward trend which we have seen would continue going forward as well.
Okay, thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Mehul from RW Equity. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Hi. That's Mehul. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on the start of a new journey as an independent listed company. I think basically the fundamental question is more on the business model, where, you know, earlier as being an integral part of all cargo logistics, you know, everything was within the company. Now as an independent organization, just wanted to understand, like, you know, how does the customer ownership and work, because increase.
Hello, Mr. Mehul. Hello, Mr. Mehul, can you hear me? Looks like we've lost the audio for Mr. Mehul.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. So my question is, let's say in terms of synergy with, let's say, the contract logistics business, how does the customer ownership and the relationship get driven? Is it by them? Is it by us? Or how does that synergy work? And similarly, like TransIndia has acquired 2 new land parcels. So how does that opportunity come into play for any potential upside for all cargo terminals? So a little bit more color on, you know, as an independent organization, how does the business model work independent of all cargo logistics?
Thank you. Thank you, Mehul. Excellent question. Thank you for your good wishes as we start our new journey. With regard to the strategic demerger, one of the things it is expected to give ATL and the other demerged entities is strategic independence and financial flexibility. And this is a stand that we have been taking, and this has been part of the strategic demerger process. So this kind of now gives each of the independent entities access to resources without having to kind of balance between whether this is something that an investor who has come to us specifically for one line of business would appreciate or not. So that is what the biggest benefit of the strategic demerger has offered to us. Now comes the question of customers and the customer experience, and especially of customers who choose multiple products within the All Cargo Group. So Within the group, we have built a mechanism to ensure that customer handover between the entities doesn't kind of fall between. And there are customers who possibly have started off with CFS and who would want opportunities to do the ocean freight business or the 3PL business through AllCargo supply chain. We have a robust cross-sales mechanism by which inquiries, leads are passed between the organizations and these are fulfilled. These are centrally tracked by a center of excellence which looks at customer experience. And whenever the customer has got multiple products with the AllCargo group, they are very closely watched to ensure that they don't have any gaps between their experience when they interact with multiple organizations. So this is something that we have factored in with the center of excellence model that we have. Having said that, if a customer has originally been a CFS customer and that's the largest amount of revenue which comes from the customer, that's the largest portion of the business that the customer is giving us, CFS sales team and the service team and the operations team takes ownership of ensuring that the integrated services are offered to the customer by team members interacting across the organization. For this, we are also now moving on to digital solutions across the organization with a common CRM platform, which we will have at some point in time, which will ensure that within the organization, there is one view of the customer as they do business with our different entities. So it is a combination of what we have done in the past, plus a digital technology edge that we do to it. And the third one is having a center of excellence, which looks at customers who have got multiple sets of products and solutions that they require from us. That's how we are managing this, and that's how this will evolve as we go forward.
So just a question here. So is there any commercial upside, let's say, if you get additional business for a group company, or the other way around, if a group company gets new business for you? So is there a commercial incentive on either side to drive that?
No, there's no commercial incentive that we have set for that, because all of the entities are part of the same promoter group company, and therefore they work independently, which is why the cross-sales lead transfer mechanism facilitated by CRM works as a platform for exchanging leads and ensuring that customer solutions are done.
Got it. And the other part about the TransIndia?
The other part about TransIndia is the way in which we operate our asset-light model is, so I can talk on behalf of ATL. So when I scan the environment and look at opportunities that I would like to get into, one that we know of is like Jajal. This has been on the growth plan for the CFS division for a while, and we have indicated that as an area of interest for us, and TREL has managed to acquire the necessary land parcels there and will build the facility based upon an expression of interest that has come from our side. Similarly, across the country, there are places where we can rely on the group organization to help us. We will lean on them to provide us the solutions. This doesn't mean that we can't look at outside facilities, outside the group to lease things. If those opportunities are available, we will do that also. So TREL's role is, we kind of present our areas of interest to them, and if they are able to fit that with their business plan, and if they are able to give us the right value proposition, then we would like to take these assets on lease from TREL. So that's a working arrangement between us and TREL.
Okay. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. We take the next question from the line of Shubham Desai, an individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Oh, hello, is my voice clear?
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Shubham. Please go ahead.
So my first question will be, as you said, there is a killer of technology in the business model. So in what part of the value chain would be this new technology and digitalization be employed? And what is the spend of this technology deployment in the business model?
Okay, is that the only question?
And also, when will be the dredger CFS will be online, and what kind of volume are you expecting from there?
Okay, so the simpler one is to answer the second one. We are targeting 25-26 for commissioning the dredger facility, and we are in the process of firming up our plans, you know, to develop an ICD with rail connectivity and ensure that it runs at its optimum capacity, the cargo traffic that is required, and the various tie-ups that we have to get into. We are in the process of working that. So closer to commissioning, I think we will share the detailed business plan for the facility. But in terms of timing, we are looking at 25-26 as a timeline for launching the dredger facility. To your first question about digital, I think very early in the CFS journey, right in 2011-2010 itself, I think All Cargo had invested in what has then become industry standard as what we call the CFS bank. And that has been the platform that we have been using all along. And now we have further upgraded that platform with minimal investments and also offered a portal enablement for the same and an app version of the same for our customers. So where does this actually come in for the customers? Through the app, one can actually understand the location of the containers, the track and trace, whatever one needs to know, plus upload necessary documents and also place necessary service requests. Before this app and before the portal, some of this work had to be necessarily done physically by someone visiting a CFS. And typically, if you were to look at it, a lot of our CFSs would be set up outside the city limit, and therefore, there is a certain amount of commute that one would have to do to come to the CFS. What this helps the CHA associates and the partners of our businesses, they can now do some of the work that they were doing standing in front of a counter even before they visit our CFS. This also brings in some amount of efficiency for them, because typically, depending upon the volumes, there are CHA representatives assigned for different CFSs. And if some of this work can happen digitally, then one person can actually double hat for multiple CFSs. So that is where this comes from the value chain of the current operations. And we are in the process of making this as digital as possible. And that's the appropriate time when this can be linked with the existing customs systems and everything with due permissions and technology permitting. We will do the necessary API and interfaces at that point of time. To summarize, investments are minimal. This builds upon the CFS MAG, which was a pioneering innovation of All Cargo. We have taken this to the next level. There is portal and app interface now possible. We will look at an API interface in future. This reduces a lot of manual work for the CHA team, and therefore efficiency is coming. Does this kind of respond to your question, Mr. Shubham?
So, to my understanding, most of this technology deployment is on the customer interface side, am I right?
Yes, on the customer interface side, yeah.
So, are you looking at any automation in the operational side of the business?
Automation as much as possible with regard to track and trace within our facilities, RFID is already implemented. And through the CFSAI, we have also made representations to the CDIC and the customs authorities to help us give virtual boundaries rather than physical boundaries and segregation of commodities. This is a proposal that we are working closely with the CFS Association, because we believe this is something which can help everyone utilize the yard capacity in a better manner if we can kind of have virtual boundaries. So that's the technology deployment opportunity that we see. But this requires regulatory permission, and we are working with the government authorities, customs, through CFSAI to achieve this.
Okay, thank you for the clarity on the question.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gurvinder Singh from Fortuna Investment Advisors. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, sir. My question is regarding your working capital entries. I wanted to understand what part of your receivables and payables are with group entities versus third parties.
I would request Pritam to please share numbers on this, or if you would require time to tabulate this and share, would you want to collect the email and send a response?
We will get back to you with exact percentage of receivables and payables. However, so receivables from group companies and doesn't have a significant amount. However, from payable, because we have as we discussed that there is TRL with whom we are having lease transaction. Those are the things where we have payables, and all the transactions which we have been doing are on arm's length basis. So that's the reason we have some payable amount and receivable amount, whatever we have, are not very significant.
All right, sir, that's helpful. I will follow up separately also. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Gurvinder.
Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Mehul from RW Equity. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. So just wanted to check more on the inorganic front, whether we would, what is the appetite that the company management has in terms of taking on debt for the right opportunity, considering, our current balance sheet. So, because AllCargo as a group has always kind of grown aggressively by successfully acquiring companies. We are really hoping that it's kind of replicated here. So just a little more color on how you're thinking about the inorganic growth front. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Mehul, for your follow-up question. I will go back to the guiding principles by which AllCargo Terminals business model has been crafted. So we will remain committed to the asset-light model. Acquisitions of attractive opportunities will come up, and that is something that we believe is something waiting to happen in the industry. And if one were to kind of link that up with the earlier question on profitability, with profitability margins under pressure, at some point in time, we see there will be some kind of consolidation and opportunities could come up. If some suitable opportunities come up, we would factor that into the asset-light model of working and see how we operate those facilities while the hard capex required for that remains out of ATL. Because we believe our core competency is running and operating CFSs and delivering great customer experience. And now we will add digital to it. And we will remain focused on this. Managing the asset, I think we are privileged to have other portions in our group who do that as their business and they have their core competency. We will synergize with them as much as possible, even when we are looking at inorganic opportunities.
Okay. So I just wanted to sense, because I think it's something similar to what you've done in the case of when you did the acquisition of Speedy Multimodes.
Yes.
So
yeah.
On those lines, is something you feel there could be opportunities or a pipeline that could fructify in the future?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Mehul.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Mohit from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi sir, I have two, three questions. Number one is, how are we planning to use cash accruals over the medium term in terms of capex, dividend distribution, etc.?
Okay, would you want to ask all your questions or we go one by one?
Yeah, sure. The question number two would be, what is our core focus area for the growth and what would be the key growth lever for us? And the third is, who are the key competitors of our CFS business? While we have seen that industry has not grown that much, but surprisingly, our volume was much better. I think 13% YOY basis growth. So what are the key growth driver for the volumes? And can you also share with us terminal-wise growth in the volumes?
Okay. So I think three questions. One, you were talking about the financial aspect and CapEx deployment for the future. I will leave that to Preetham to answer. The other two questions with regard to what are our growth areas, how do we plan to grow in future, and our competitive position, let me try to answer them, Mohit.
Yeah, sure.
So with regard to the growth that we have seen this half year, this is a growth which has happened due to a set of actions which have happened over a period of time. And some of these actions are around the sales acceleration program that we have across the different facilities and the closer customer connect and contact that we have. I think we operate a sales team and a sales process which is evolved and keeps very, very close track of our customers. And I told you we operate with a base of approximately 3,000 customers and with empanelment of all shipping lines. This is something which we very closely follow through. Second thing which has helped us is in some way to differentiate our services versus competition is the enablement of digital facilities that I briefly spoke to you about. While there is still a lot of things that we can offer, the ultimate is to have an API interface with the iceGate, and there is a long way before we reach there. The small steps that we have taken, I think, are getting good response from customers. As you know, in our business, we have two sets of customers. One is the shipping lines, and then you have the CHAs and the consignees. And this is a service which is not really for shipping lines. This is a service which is actually meant for CHAs and the consignees. And the response that we have got from them in terms of acknowledgement that we are trying to do something different has been very positive. The third thing is, in the last 6 months, there have been multiple times we have seen difficulties faced by the industry. For example, one of them was the Biparjoy cyclone which hit Mundra. And I would like to credit how our teams worked there to kind of respond to the situation. I think it was a very, very difficult situation for everybody. It was one of the severest cyclones which had hit that part of our country. There was so much of dislocation of services. But I think the response which was crafted together by our teams managed us to win the confidence of our customers. So these are some things which have helped us. One, I said, very, very close tracking of our customers. Second is the digital initial steps that we are taking and the very, very sharp focus that we have on operations excellence and responding to customer requirements, I think is helping us. There is also, obviously, the shipping line relationships and whatever volumes come in. And then there is a DPD competition which happens along with everybody. We participate in them as much as possible. One of the things we have tried being part of the All Cargo Group is to maintain price sanity as much as possible. And that is something which we would like to hold on because finally we are all in this business to grow and serve customers well and serve our stakeholders well. So we are not in this for short-term gains of making some additional volume for a particular month and then kind of not knowing what happened. We would rather do this in a systematic long-term way. And some of the efforts that we have taken over the past so many quarters across different locations have helped us. The two major facilities, if you were to look at, are Mundra and JNPT. The advantages of running two different CFSs also accrue to us. I will request my investor relations team to share with you growth that we have in the different locations separately. I don't have it readily. That can be sent to you. I hope I've touched upon the points that you've talked about. And the one thing that you asked me is about inorganic growth and what are future growth things. So clearly, in the five pillars that I spoke to you, the first and the primary pillar will still be to get additional business from CFSs and ICDs, one through existing locations and one through geographic expansion whenever we see an opportunity. And we definitely see opportunity for that in the coming 2 to 3 quarters. And let's see how some of these things emanate. The second one is the Gati Shakti terminals and the work around it. We have expressed interest for about 4 to 6 stations. We believe that can add volumes to us in the coming quarters and years. Third, I mentioned to you about the hub and spoke arrangement, which is our earnest attempt to participate in the customers' cargo value chain after the cargo leaves the CSS. So we believe there is an opportunity for us, and if you were to look at the configuration of various markets, it all is a hub and spoke. So if you were to look at Navi Sheva is the hub, and then you have got Pune, Pimpri, Chinchwad, Vapi, all these places are hubs which Navi Sheva kind of supplies. So once the container leaves our CFS facility, can we partner with the customer either through other arms of the All Cargo group or by ourselves in warehousing and other value addition is something that we are exploring. This is a hub and spoke pilot that I briefly works well. We would want to extend that. Then the other pillar that I talked to you was digital operations excellence. And the last one that I told you, wherever there is an opportunity for strategic alliances, be it with shipping lines or be it with other organizations who help us do the business in the asset-light model, we'll be open to do that. So that is how our growth strategy is kind of charted out. On to the first question, Preetam, would you answer? Or
yeah. So the first question was around CapEx and cash accrual. So you have already clarified that ATL business model is basically asset-light. And in spite of that, if there are opportunities and business projects where the CapEx investments are justified, we will look at that investment at the time of execution or when we are in terms of cash accrual, which is happening month on month, we are investing it in short-term investments. And whenever there is opportunity for organic growth or any other investment, we will use that. If that's not there, then of course board and the AGM would take the decision for dividend payout at appropriate time. So that's how we are looking to use our cash accruals.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much, sir. Those were my questions.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants: anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Mehul from RW Equity.
Yeah, sorry for the interruption. This is my last question for sure. Sir, just, you know, wanted to know, there is a very high Exim imbalance right now. But if that was to, you know, normalize a couple of quarters down the line, to what extent can it help our margins, or it is largely neutral for us?
So first of all, Mehul, please don't say sorry to us. The interest that you show in our company is most welcome. And the more questions that come from you helps us think better. So thank you very much for your questions. On the point about XM imbalance, I think we are watching this closely. There was a time in which there was one leg which used to be significantly more profitable than the other. But as an industry watcher, I'm sure you have started realizing that this is now getting normalized, and there is no significant difference between the different legs between export and import. Unless there are specific value additions like reefer or overdimension cargo or any of those things which come in, which obviously come with additional work and therefore additional services and therefore an opportunity for us to get some additional revenue and maybe margins. So the XM trade, we just are not overly bothered about the imbalance, because there is an export story which is waiting to happen, and we would like to definitely participate in it. Imports, which has always been the mainstay of the CFS businesses, if it continues to progress, we'll be happy. But you know, the composition change in import in favor of DPD and the impact it's had on the industry.
Got it, sir. That's useful. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for the day. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Suresh Kumar for closing comments.
Thank you. Thank you very much to everyone who patiently listened to our introductory note and for the many questions that you have asked us today. This is our maiden call, and we are really grateful for your participation, involvement and the questions. There are a couple of you to whom we need to send in responses, which our investor relations team will send you the responses in due course. Continue to keep track of us, and wishing you and your families a very, very happy festival season, very, very happy Deepavali.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.